46 on Wednesday, July 11th, and I am bringing up as for my right here, the July 12th, I'm starting from running meeting order. The first item on our agenda is public comment period. Now, if you have one individual that wants to comment, please go ahead.
My name is one of the students, and I live in a, building on Connecticut Avenue Northwest. And I complain, whatever you want to call it, is about the transportation system. My complaint and my concern is we only have one bus coming up Connecticut Avenue on the weekend. And we, once upon a time, when I was working at that day, we had two buses, which is the L4 and the L2 on the weekend. So now, we only have that L2. And like, when I go to church, that, I use that as an example. If someone don't bring me home, I have to get the bus up to Connecticut Avenue. And if I just miss the L2, I let the L2 then show up, sometime I can get home to 3:00, and I'm gonna go out of church for a third. And then, I don't know what you did to the L2, because another thing I don't account, use that as an example. I went to the Hamptons the other day, and I had to transfer three times. And, you know, I'm already handicapped. I've been handicapped all my life now, and a few months, I'll be 7'4". And that transfer is gonna be a little bit too much. And I don't understand why you went up on the fair, you went up on the fair, I'm not concerned about that. As long as I get the service, you went up on the fair, then you cut back on the service. That's what I wanna understand. And is there some way you can show the people that making the rules and running the system, is there some way you can show them that we are not satisfied with the service we are getting?
Sure, so thanks for your comment, and let me say that we definitely hear and understand your frustration. There are several of us around the state that stay with us on a regular basis, so we know it can be frustrating to wait long periods of time for the bus to come. At the same time, we are here to ride as advisory council, so we're here to represent your interests. I think this is good information that we can take forward to our staff and look into further. I'm gonna ask that you leave us your name and number, and that we get in touch with, say, the Office of Bus Planning to figure out what's going on with the L2. I will say that there, just due to budget cuts and other reasons, I'm not exactly certain why service was cut on that line, or what can be done to restore it, but we can certainly issue more information, because we don't want to unnecessarily inconvenience folks in our community.
I have one other question, if I may.
Sure.
Isn't there some way, you may not wanna go back to that, isn't there some way we can boycott the bus for a couple of days when it is? Or could we get a petition not to try to sign nobody, or try to say we're gonna shut down, but to have them to understand that we are the community and we are paying their salary, and could we get a little bit more service, better service?
Right, that's certainly always an option. I think, though, we have to look into the jurisdiction. I don't know, did the L2 solely a DC jurisdiction bus, or just the ones in Maryland, regional? I can't think of this.
It ends at Chevy Chase Circle, but it may be regional, just because it serves downtown.
I bring up the regional and just the additional issue, because that gets into funding, which gets into the local legislature and stuff like that. But we got a few members that wanted to come to your home, so I'm gonna go around and darn, and then we'll go to the other side.
Kelsey, I have a little background on that. Mainly because one of my neighbors lives on Connecticut Avenue, and of course, Jim Hammer, the director of bus planning, is my neighbor. As I understand it, the L4, this essentially branch of the Academy buses that went down to Adams Morgan and then into downtown. Because of the construction of 5th and 18th Street, that bus had become very, very long. And no service was actually cut, just the same number of buses are still on Connecticut Avenue, but just head straight down to Connecticut Avenue instead of veering off to go via Adams Morgan. What one of my coworkers pointed out to me, who lives on there, is that 18th Street has essentially been under construction for the last year and a half, and will be for a little while to come. And that part of the unreliability of the California was due to that, and that Metro should look at perhaps restoring that service once the construction on 18th Street is finished. So I think she brings up a very valid point, and that's something that we should possibly bring up with the bus plan that we'll choose to visit.
Okay.
I will talk to our DC bus planner, because I'm sure we did just change the service effective, I want to say June 17th, within the last month. Okay, yeah, effective within the last month or so.
Can you after you did the answer to her questions?
Yeah.
You can inform the Nani about what the specific about what the response that you got from the study.
I will do that. I will put you in touch, because I'm sure just having made this change, the folks in bus planning want to know if it's working or not. You know, it's not, obviously it's not their goal to make changes that screw things up. So, I'm going to ask Laura if it's going to hit your contact information, maybe not now, but before you go. And that way we can get back to you, and I can get back to the body on what the, you know, what the changes were and what the, you know, if they've noticed any problems, what they're keeping track of. Because they, I mean, they do track this stuff and make adjustments the next, you know, the next round.
Sounds so good. Thanks so much. Okay, any more comments about this? Deb, do you get it?
I don't know if it's the people who are doing it or what, but related to this thing, maybe we can find time to see what method is going to be applied to the system. If there's any sort of a school app that talks about it for Robert Gates, I know maybe they made like thousands of surveys that have been used. Can we work with them somehow?
So your suggestion is possibly work with Lamont on some sort of survey, a route survey?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We'll take that into consideration. Ms. Stevenson, we greatly thank you for coming in and talking to us about this and bringing it to our attention. We're going to go back to Lamont's staff, and someone will definitely get back in touch with you, and we'll figure out what this body can do further for this issue and other major thoroughfares throughout the DC area that don't have frequent bus services. Thank you. So next up, is there anyone else on the phone?
I don't have anyone else.
I'm a real estate agent with Lauren Foster on Capitol Hill. I moved to D.C. about 6 years ago, and when I got here, I decided as an experiment to go ahead and see what it would, how long I could go carless. And, I have a car dependent business, but I still am carless, so between Metro and my own fleet and car sharing and everything else, I live more in the city very easily, and I'm also a very community person, so I'm happy to be able to comment on something that we all need to.
Great, thank you. We're checking in again, and we're glad to have you here, and we don't have time tonight to go around the room and introduce ourselves, but we will all make the point to comment to you sometime in the near future. So the next item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. Are there any comments on the agenda? Or can I get a motion to approve these? Okay, can I get a second? Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. John, can you vote on this?
Without objection.
The agenda is approved. The next agenda item is the approval of the past meeting minutes. We actually only have the May 2012 minutes. So again, can I get a motion to approve? Okay, and a second. Okay. And any discussion about the May 2012 minutes? Any comments? John? All right. Hearing none. No objections to voting or moving forward?
Either way.
And so our suggestion is to say, you know, answer these questions from that, build the package that says this is the way we would like to approach the public participation in our meetings. And from that, then we can all decide what's next, whether it's giving a trial period, do we, you know, want to send it out to public via the website for feedback on, or so we're the new kids, we didn't think we had enough experience in past meetings to really judge a lot of these answers to these questions we're looking for now from the marching or people in the room.
So thank you for that great recap. And the leadership team asked specifically that Barbara can put something in writing for members to have to look in front of them, so that this can be part of our formal record for not just the leadership team, the future leadership team, the board, anyone else that wants to look back at how has the RAC discussed understanding public participation. And I want to say that I fully support additional commentary by the public at certain points within the meeting, but I also wanted to make sure that we had a fleshed out discussion for as much as possible, a comprehensive discussion of this process. So I think what we'll do is we've got four proposals here. I think maybe we should open it up to any comments on those proposals, as well as answers or comments to the six questions listed at the bottom part of the page. And then I think just for orderly reasons, maybe we'll vote on each proposal or vote on which one definitely does not work for the group.
Maybe my suggestion would be that we have a conversation that you hopefully have, and then see what emotions the council wishes specific of the four people support and as opposed to voting them all up or voting them all down. Just seeing which one specific one has the support of the buildings and governments.
Okay.
John, I saw your eyes perk up before I started talking. Were you like here on that?
No, my only suggestion would be just to, it would be easiest or cleanest to just vote on one thing rather than to vote on four, because then you will have approved doing four simultaneous things.
I'm sorry, before you ask, this clock right here is going off, and this one is off.
That clock is 10 minutes.
That clock is an hour off, and so we're just going to unplug that, and that clock is about 10 minutes slow.
All right.
So.
So let's open it. Oh, Barbara.
I'd like to add something. Is that the reason I broke out with this question? So each of the proposals were addressed a few of the questions, and so they talked about this big thing, but it wasn't a whole package. And so it left, you didn't really know what maybe the person had planning on. It was just not clear, you know. So I'm all for the generally wanting to accept the reason we felt that voting on the proposals was kind of a complete thing, because we may don't necessarily answer all the questions.
Okay. Let me first also say to that, remember that this body is flexible. So if you decide tonight, we can always do a book trial period or undecided the next month if it doesn't work. I think what I'm going to do though is just open the floor up right now to comment on both the proposals as well as the questions, with the understanding that all four proposals don't necessarily answer or address our six questions in the application. So, John.
I have more of a question for John. I went through the board agenda for the meeting tomorrow. And I noticed that on some items, there's actually the ability to provide comments on some of the agenda items. And I'm wondering if we would have the capability of doing the same thing through the agenda.
In terms of electronically, you mean?
Yes.
Yes, I think. Yes, my boss is saying that yes, you would.
Yeah, as much as I love Metro and I enjoy being on the back and I hope to be here for a while, I wouldn't honestly come in to make a comment. Because it's a major effort for me. And I think the ability for people, particularly on the presentations and agenda items, to comment electronically is very important, and those electronic comments should go in along with the ones that are submitted at the meeting and be available. That's my only comment.
Very good. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I
kind of like number four, maybe just like variation, but I like what Tom does and what Will's saying, that is, obviously, we should have some setup for people who come and listen to what's going on and submit email comments. Because one of our concerns is it's going to be time, that helps take care of that issue. Kind of the, I like the fourth one, in the sense of let's keep the beginning of the event now where people can register and make too many comments. I think that's very useful, that those people come prepared with specific comments, and I think that's useful information for us. I would prefer for the rest of the participation to kind of come at the end if people want to make comments, at the meeting itself, maybe just set aside 15 minutes at the end and let them comment on anything they heard during the presentations. I'm a little hesitant to say people can comment as we go along on everything, because it's hard enough to get through this group with comments, let alone and start opening up to other people. So what I would suggest again is keep the opening we have now, and then allow a little time at the end for people who have attended to make any comments or suggestions they may have. I don't know how much time we talked about, I mean, 15 minutes at the end or something like that. And then add Tom's comment about email comments after that.
Okay, so it sounds like add a public comment period, and both that we have a public comment period at the beginning and at the end of the meeting, and then 15 minutes or so, and then add the email accepting comments.
And the difference of the two comment periods is the opening comment will be people coming with a specific concern that they haven't just had now. The comments at the end should relate to what took place during the meeting. Yeah, rather than start to raise new issues.
Okay, so I have Debbie, Carol, and Joseph.
So how do you convince them to have them come into the public meeting? How does that work?
Yes, please. I think it's partly a convenience matter. I think that you have people in our area who may work multiple jobs and have very valid comments, or people who maybe just for whatever reason have health issues. You know, they cannot attend the meeting, but they still should have the opportunity to be heard. So I don't think it's going to hurt us from getting public participation if we accept email comments along with any of these four comments over the phone, because I want to think about this for my family. And anything, if we start to address those comments, we may actually see the public participation numbers increase because we're being responsive to what the public is saying. So, Carol, go.
It seems to me that this is really about power sharing. You know, and I think if we are carrying out our mission on behalf of the public, then we have to be willing to share the power. And so I am very much opposed to anything that appears that basically no matter what we say, the back is still in control, specifically items 1C and 1D. I also think that I sort of like definitely what Don suggested. I like the proposal number 4. I like also what happens tonight, because someone came and made a public comment and we took an action, or asked, one of us asked John to take an action. So I would kind of like to add to whatever proposal we select, that any public comment be assigned to either the staff person or to a RAC member for follow-up, so it just doesn't sort of go into the ether and never to return. But that's my basic thing. This is, to me, a fundamental issue of power sharing, and we should be willing to share power, not figure out how we can obtain it.
Thanks. Joseph?
Before I go, Barbara, were you going to respond to the GF? So I think our idea about the IMP idea, I think that is an awesome idea. I think the evening event going, we have been great. And think that will also thrust upon the leadership team here to be getting elected and sort of be publishing to the website, which is not an easy thing.
But
going back to these proposals, I would say this. I don't like proposal number one at all. It's not something that I would support. And proposal number four is certainly a great deal. If I'm loving on any of them, it's number three. I think that's probably the one that I like the best. Number two is something that I've compromised on. I hit myself for it. I've never supported number one. I've hit myself for number four. I think that the reason why we're here, the reason why I came on this council, I think I've been saying for that, is not that I had more to do with than any other rider in the system. That I had access to more information, or the ability to question anyone more than any other rider. And I think that we need to make these meetings a forum not only for us to do our job, but a forum for other riders to ask questions and answers to their issues. And while I think that I hear, Ron's issue, I think that Ron's issue that he raised about time is a very, it's a huge issue, and it's something that does need to be considered. Where I have concern about moving on before we resolve public comments about issues is that we make a decision and then public comments on the decision that we already made. And so, a lot of legislative bodies do that. You know, the Prince George's Board of Education does it all the time. It'll pass a budget at the end of the meeting, and at the end of the meeting is when you comment on the budget that they passed. And so, your comments don't really go into their deliberation. Some people might say they wouldn't go in anyway. But I think that this proposal, this whole initiative, should get us in the process of one, doing a couple things. One, I'm allowing more public participation at our meetings, which is what we should do while we're meeting. And two, I think a lot of the time what we do with this meeting is not what we should do with this meeting. This meeting should not be the markup of everything. This meeting should be the decision making from the committee meeting that marks up everything. And so I think that what we have to do is that we need to get away from designing programs at this meeting, discussing them, debating them, amending them, writing them, proposing them, all at this meeting, and start and move to using our committees and our work group more effectively so that when we come to this meeting, we're ready to discuss what happened at the committee and we're ready to make decisions.
Thanks.
Barbara?
Yeah, I am
supporting
the proposal that
Ron
It doesn't happen very often, and generally those are, I would say 95% of the time, the comments are copies of comments that are sent to our customer service line and are handled that way.
I
before we ever vote on it, and that would be the opportunity for people to attend.
attend and then comment. So I don't think we're telling people that they can comment on things after we've taken a vote.
Don, Carol, Chris.
Not partly obvious, but I think there's a point that you made when this topic of public participation first came up, which is that you kind of run late already and have trouble with scheduling. We're gonna have a major presentation this meeting, so that'll probably be an exception to the rule. And so to the extent that we're incorporating public participation, I'm all for sharing our power, but that means we're sharing our time. So there's a limit on, you know, how long, if there's some time that's not carved out for people to comment, at least there's less time for us to comment. And I think we just should be aware of that. And, you know, I think, Kelsey, you do a yeoman's job trying to keep the meetings moving, but we're all opinion and we all want to say our piece. And what this means is we may not, you know, get to that. You may have to start, you know, start going around the different places on the table and the time is done, and we call a question on the floor. So that's my comment.
Carol?
First of all, let me back up and say a big thank you for the two people who worked on this. And considering the fact that you're brand new, I think you did a fantastic job, and I should have said that at the outset of my comments. Modestly, and I'm flattering you on purpose. But what I think needs to happen is not that we vote at this meeting. I think what I'd like to see is a move, maybe you'll call again, the basic people who work on this, maybe augmented by those who have a burning passion, is to come back with one proposal, having heard the comments, and that we can vote on or then at the following meeting. I think a lot of ideas have been presented, and I think after hearing the discussion of the RAC members and maybe getting comments from the public during this meeting or next month, we'd be in a much better position to vote on a single proposal that kind of incorporates the sense of value that you heard tonight. So, thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Chris?
I just advise that I think that we may have an overstated idea of our power. Darn's noticed that it was news to me that there's a path for electronic entry directly to the board. There's a complaint process. I think that I have used them numerous times. We've gotten a variety of acceptable and unacceptable answers. We were created because the board didn't travel underground. And let's not get lost. I mean, we're like a student council. The college version of that too. When our opinion is wanted, we'll be told what it is. The exception to that is when we get into genuine debate with presentations by professionals. And the other best thing that we can do is create relationships with members of the board, create constituencies for ourselves, but that's, in my experience, that's been difficult to do even in a place like Montgomery County that's pretty well organized. We have to be well-informed advocates, well-versed users of the system, but not to get distracted by our sense of power.
Candace, and then Chelsea.
I just wanted to say that I guess based on some of the conversations I've had, I think that the idea is sort of to implement something tonight and maybe do it on a trial basis just to see how it works for a few months, to see if that's how the RAC wants to operate and that's going to be the way it operates, for a long period of time or just for a short period of time. I think that we're supposed to basically be a public voice, and I think that we need to be very much so included in our meetings. That's what we're here for. I think that I just think that the public needs to be very involved in this. We don't really get too much public comment on a regular basis, but I think if people are here and they want to comment, then we should basically encourage that. And that's sort of my feeling on everything, because that's sort of our job, that's what we're here to do. We're here to sort of, you know, encourage that voice and be sort of the channel for that voice to the larger board. And so, there's just my thing.
Okay, so Joseph, and then I have a comment, and then I'd like for us to figure out if we're on the table tonight or table the discussion.
So, I think that Camden and Barbara have done a fabulous job with even when I got this available, when I read this, the six questions down here below even had me thinking, even from what I've been about, but also what I hope to buy from the event that you have it for a lot of money. And then we'll have one to discuss it, think about it, flesh out, and then come back and focus on it. And now I hear that you want to have another one to think about it, talk about it, flesh out a vote next month. I don't think that this is that difficult. This is our bylaws are very clear about what this council should do. And that is that we should speak public comment, that we should speak public input, and that we should include it in our meetings. And if someone really read a very literal reading of our bylaws, it's that we should do it on every item. Now, at last month's meeting, I was ready to accept the compromise of just on presentation by staff. But my reading of the bylaws is that it should be on everything. And that's where I come from this. And I'll say this, I understand about the time limit and things like that. I definitely do. Again, as I said before, I think our agendas are too cluttered down. A lot of the work that we do in these meetings should not be done at this meeting. I think that the presentations that we have are great, but are not helpful to understand that we get them too late. A lot of times, I mean, you give me a 39-page slide presentation, you give me 1 minute to comment on the 39-page slide presentation, then, and that's just with us, and that's not helpful for me. Whereas if we get that presentation a week before meeting, and we have thought about that, and the person comes before us to give us a brief on the 39-page presentation, then I think that we can move our meeting around. What I think that we have here is we're mismanaging our own time. And I think that allowing more public comment and more public participation and decluttering our own agenda and being better ourselves, this shouldn't be what we need to do versus what the public needs to do. What I think we need to do is find a proposal here that most people can come around and go through that proposal and see how it works. We have four people in the room today, we have one public comment. At the last meeting, we had 10 people in the room, we had 3 people comment. So it's not like we're like blowing up the room with like public comment here. That's not what's happening here. We have a few people who are coming to these meetings and who have very specific issues. And a lot of times, they offer very much needed insight into what is going on. And a lot of times right now, I call that insight on Twitter because I can't hear that insight in real time. And so I would like to hear that insight in real time. I think that it would help all of our colleagues hear that insight in real time.
Okay, so I have a comment, and I see your hand.
I know it's out of order. I just like to say, let's just do this. Let's talk. It doesn't have to be comments. It's so rigid. Let's just have a dialogue. Let's just talk to each other about what's wrong. I mean, our comments aren't about specific issues necessarily. It's about the fact that services degraded, that it's hard to get around, that trains are overcrowded, they're short, they don't show up, weekend services are visible. And it's not a specific issue. It's a system-wide problem. And so let's just all talk about it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
So I hear everyone's comments, and on the surface, this does seem like a simple matter. It would seem like you would just raise your hand and join the discussion. But as you can see, it is complicated for various reasons, because people have certain things that are important to them. And this body is always constantly evolving. It will continue to evolve. What I don't want people to lose track of, though, is that you were appointed by the board to represent your jurisdiction, or multiple jurisdictions if you're an at-large member. So therefore, some of this responsibility is on us. I will say, I don't know how much time each individual has, but I'll use myself as an example. In addition to RAP meetings, I go to probably 1 to 2 different community meetings, I go to neighborhood association meetings, and I try to get the word on the street there. I'm talking to bus stops. I mean, it's amazing that everyone has a community on the bus. It's not that typical sometimes to get that feedback and think about it in the back of your head as you're here and as you're holding up your items. And Joseph, it was odd to me that you said, you know, you think that we don't get the presentations from a lot of staff early enough, where one of my concerns with this proposal is that we just got it, what, last night or 2 days ago. And I think this is something that people should at least have to be silent and we're all with your body. And I appreciate everything that Barbara and Candace did. But I'm just saying, for this and for other other initiatives, sometimes you can't just force something on someone because you think it's simple. If someone's raising their hand and they say that they need additional time to consider it, I think you have to consider that as being valid. So I can go either way. If you want to vote on this on tonight, you can vote on it. Because at the end of the day, what I would like for the RAC to decide on is a way to better include the public comment throughout our meetings. Or if people think we should table it, as the leader of this body, I'm going to do what this group votes as the body to do.
I'm sorry, but I didn't want to just correct one thing. This idea didn't just arrive last night. This idea arrived a week before the last month meeting when I proposed a first written proposal that tablets in the majority area. So this idea didn't just arrive on our desk last night. And the reason why it arrived on our desk last night, because we don't know, is because of the original idea proposal before this got to the right body was to just telegraph that we're going to postpone this until next month and have another working group meeting. And it was our vice chair from DC, Carl, who said that didn't apply to him. We need to have a proposal, it should be presented, and we should vote on it. And that's where we got the proposal from last night. This proposal didn't just arrive yesterday. It started last month. And we had an extra week because we didn't meet last week. So that's where I understand your point. I think your point. I think that your point is well taken, and I do understand that. But it did not
just arrive last month. Okay, so where do we go from here? Deb?
I'm a little confused as what proposal we're voting on. There are four proposals in front of us plus Joseph's. So are we, that is a 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm very confused about what it is we're voting on, or yes.
Sure, and I should apologize for the confusion. I think the best way that we can handle this is, one, let's take a vote on if we want to vote on this tonight, or if we want to take one because people need additional consideration. And then if people do want to vote on it tonight, then I think we vote on what's been here, and then in future months, we can get back or modify the okay. So, can I make a motion or
I think Debbie did.
Debbie, you did make that motion. Okay.
You're asking her to take it back.
Hmm?
You're asking her to take it back.
No.
What Kelsey is asking, John, is Kelsey's asking for a motion to take it. It was not Debbie's motion. Kelsey wanted a motion to take it.
No, I just
want to
say we take a vote on whether we take
the discussion
or not.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
don't we have to
She. To consider it, which is the opposite. So she moved to not table it.
She moved to not table it. Okay. So let's make that the motion then. The motion is from there that we do not table this public participation proposal vote.
We decide tonight.
Those in,
is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Okay. All in favor?
Of voting on something tonight. Could you raise your hands, please? That way I can see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So, let's see. In favor, I had Thais, Debbie, Candace, Joseph, and who did I miss? Barbara. Thank you. Okay.
And all those opposed for those being.
One, two, three, four. Excuse me. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All right.
So, this issue has been tabled until. I don't want to drive. I agree we should not have until August. But can I get right now? Barbara, again, if you all did a wonderful job, and I appreciate it. Can I get someone, though, who has served on the RAC for only 2 months, please? to assist Barbara and Candace so that we can definitely give a draft out to people and have this discussion over email or some other form, or with our own bodies, and then they will hold on at the beginning of August, the August meeting. Carol? Okay, thank you. So Carol's going to join us. We appreciate all
that. And I'll just say this, I think that it needs to be understood that we were working with very limited information. As Barb mentioned at the beginning of this, she had only been on the raft for 1 month. I had been on the raft for 2 months. And so I think that when it came time for us to draft this, yes, I would say that maybe it took until a day or two ago for everyone to get this proposal. But I think that when you're working with a limited amount of information, sometimes that's the way things work. And I just need to say that because I feel like from the beginning, someone a little bit more senior than us should have been on the committee.
Candace and Barbara, I totally understand. I don't want you to think that the way this played out tonight is any reflection on the proposal. This is more so of a, you've got our minds in gear now, thinking about some of the other issues that are associated with this. And also that there are 4 or 5 members that aren't present tonight as well that should probably weigh in on something like this. I want to remind everybody that sometimes things don't happen the way you want to, but they all work out in the end for as quickly as you want to. And I think the goal here tonight is we're going to have more comment from the board and more involvement from the public and more involvement from the public. We just got to believe and we'll come to an agreement quickly. I really think that the next meeting will have a
And
Ron is a great. So we got Carol and Ron that want to join Barbara and Candace. Thank you both.
John, and I think, you know, getting back to Joseph's point, this is a great example of what we should do. In other words, these people have put together a proposal and inserted their email. Whatever comments we have, that's the time to make them. Because then when it comes back, we really should have one proposal we're voting on and not spend 35 minutes or 45 minutes amending and discussing the proposal because it has already been aired out at this meeting. And you guys are inserted it electronically and we shouldn't be spending 45 minutes on it. That's my only comment.
Okay, so I'm actually going to go on if there are no other comments to the next agenda item. And actually, before I do that, I wanted to let everyone know there were, you know, the 2 very unfortunate incidents that happened on the ring on self-evacuation and disturbance. And I wanted folks to know that the leadership team, we have on the Lamont staff now for a presentation. So because the investigations are ongoing, because just of the timeliness of which these things happen and the occurrence of our hacking tonight, that type of presentation or something that would have been more useful to say what we're just hearing in the press was not able to happen tonight. But it's a big one for our agenda, and so we're going to try and have something from the Mata staff soon, maybe on the next meeting or even a special meeting. So I want to keep the public saying that we are fully immune to what's going on. We're trying, but again, we need to work with the Mata staff and finish what it is they need to finish, what they present to us. Okay, so the next agenda item is election of Maryland Vice Chair. Joseph is resigning as Maryland Vice Chair. Joseph, I want to take the time to thank you for your service. We appreciate all that you've done. And we're going to go ahead and start the election unless you have a couple of comments or party words or not.
No, I don't have any comments actually. I just wanted to nominate Dan Wright to be the Vice Chair for the National Mayor.
Can I get a second?
Please second the nomination of James Wright.
Great. Do we have anyone else from Maryland that is interested in running as the vice chair? All right. Sean, do you need to take a vote?
You do. You actually need to vote on this.
All right. So all in favor of Mr. James Wright becoming the Maryland vice chair for the remainder of 2012? Please raise your hand.
Any opposed? No, sorry.
Wonderful, so congratulations. If you'd like to join us here at the leadership table, please do. We'd love to have you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's turn to a grid on record in Campbell, which starts on page 15 of your packet. So, as we discussed at last meeting and to be before that, we are trying to find ways to work to increase the so interesting when I talk about folks, and things that we want to find in terms of interpretation and the voice of young people in their transit system and the transit options, reasons why. And one is the proposal that came out of the Ward 7 Transportation Summit by a young man who was presenting there was to being a Wamata youth driving company. And while I think that's awesome goal, we should definitely go ahead and do that. I decided to be with it from media my perspective from other youth organizations all across the region and try to develop a comprehensive approach to what that is. And so in that conversation came the idea of doing a youth town hall concerning measure, which is something that not many people remember ever happened, but I'm not going to say it never happened before, because I don't know. But some people say it never happened before. And so we're going to do that. We're going to host, we're going to host in conjunction with the Mayor's Leadership Institute in D.C., a town hall on July 30th at Howard University. And it's going to be from 1 to 3 p.m.
That's yes.
And so what we put together here is a sample agenda. This is not the agenda, this is a sample agenda that a working group of youth stakeholders throughout the region, the staff here at Metro, Carol and I and whoever else on this council would like to join that working group is going to flush out and change or amend or just like what it is. But this is the sample agenda. So what I did in the memo the longer version of the memo that I sent, which is 2 pages, is I talked a little bit more about how this simple change agenda actually looks. Because in the last meeting, when I talked about making it a free-flowing, open-space meeting that was happening for a while, an agenda and time and all this other stuff, that concerned a lot of people. But it sounded like chaos, it sounded like nobody knew what was going on. And so, and I understand that now. I apologize for that, and I understand that now. And so, one of the memorandum, I'm not going to read it, I'm going to briefly go over it and talk a little bit about what open space meetings are and how they work. What it is that you create a bare bones agenda, like we have on page 15, that basically set out the areas of the agenda. And then you allow the people who come to the meeting to develop the specifics of the agenda. And so are we going to talk about Toronto Metro? Are we going to talk about Fairview Metro? Are we going to talk about creating a youth advisory council for Metro? That's going to be decided by the people who come. It's not going to be pre-decided by us. It's not going to tell us how much they like it or not. It's going to be decided by them in their view of Metro. So that's how that goes. I think some of the important guidelines to think about, though, are very important. And I'm just going to check over the headlines of them and then you can leave them or ask the questions on the day. But the goal of this meeting is that everyone in the room is the right person to be in the room. So all of the young people and other supporters who come in the room, they're the right people to be in the room. We're not going to be looking for quote unquote big experts to come into the room and tell us how to use for young people, how to make Metro work better for young people. People come to the meeting have a passion about making Metro work for young people, and so they're the right people to be in the room. What happens at the meeting is what's supposed to happen at the meeting. So we don't get around to talking about the Youth Advisory Council at this town hall meeting. It's probably because that's not what they want. However, if you only talk about the Youth Advisory Council at the meeting, it's probably because that is what they want. And so as opposed to us saying what should happen at the meeting, it allows them to talk about what happens at the meeting. The other thing is when we are done, we will be done. And that's important to talk about. So, what will happen is at the beginning of the meeting, someone will go over the agenda and we will talk, we will ask people to talk about issues or concerns that concern them about Metro. And those issues can be crime, it can be the fare high, it can be that the Metro doesn't run too late, even though we're very young people, so it should run a little enough for them. But and things like that. And those go on the board and then the people in the room coalesce in groups concerning the issue that's mostly happening for them. And they have a discussion on what the issue is, what their solutions to the issue is, and what they can bring to help solve the issue. Okay? So it's important that those three things are met. That's number three, what they can do to help solve the issue. And so when we are done, is that when people are done with us, this is probably going to be the main part of the agenda, but you don't have to say wait to that. So if you felt like you have made your points and you offered your ideas, you can move to a group that's talking about crimes or talking about things like that. So those are the important guidelines to start with. Again, then there are some important reminders. Social state meetings can at times pass. I understand from last meeting, can at times seem chaotic and can at times seem uncontrolled. That's how they're supposed to seem, but actually they work very well and they were done to actually think within themselves and outside of a controlled environment. Finally, control spells depth in open meetings. And so the more we or anyone try to control the meeting, it will kill the meeting. The meeting is about a free-flowing discussion amongst people in the room. And then, so that's where this comes from. And then there's also this very important law that at the meeting when young people will be told about that, the office like meeting that we should be told about, and probably even how we even work here, which is called the law of TC. And the law of TC is very important to open state meetings, because if at any time a person feels themselves that they are no longer learning or contributing to the meeting, then they can leave. And they can use their TC to leave or move to a different part of the meeting where they can learn and they can contribute. And so that's how you do the marketing goal. It's a lot to see and focus more on the individual. So that's all I'm going to say about this. It seems like some people may have some questions, and I want to make sure that we have time to ensure everyone is here.
So I'll go ahead and start with my comment. I just want to thank you and the others in your working group and the others that are in the community working on this. I'm actually really, really excited to see what the outcome is and to see how it plays out. I think it's going to be fantastic. And I don't look at it so much as a town hall. I look at it as a listening session. We're there to hear from the segment that you often not heard from. So I look forward to that. A couple of reminders I want to tell people is that you're expecting maybe 200 young people.
So we are expecting at least 200 young people. That's the DC portion.
Okay.
So our job for those of us being from suburbs is to add to that 200 from DC, but also Berlin.
And I think you've also got support from DDOT, the district's Department of Transportation, and you also have support from the board. Of course, Sheriff Hedges has expressed strong interest in attending. So we have that support. My question to you is, how many members of this issue?
Oh, yes, thank you, I'm sorry. Okay, so members who can come to that, I understand this is on Monday, the middle of the day, so I understand a lot of people work. I still have to work, so I'm not taking off on that day. But members who want to come, who just want to come and listen, feel free to come and listen. However, members who want to come and do steps, you do need members to help do steps. So a big portion of this meeting is writing down what you hear and bring that information back to the RAC so we can review and debrief what we heard and try to channel that information into actionable items and recommendations for the board. And so if that's that you feel crime is too bad and this is what they think that we can do to solve it, then how do we as a RAC help facilitate that actually their solution that we have? Or if it is that they actually really feel strongly about having a youth advisory council, how do we work with the board? What recommendations can be made? And what allies can we bring on board to make that happen? So we need people who want to help take minutes and record everything that they hear at the meeting. We need people who would like to these small groups are critical in conversation, but they need a moderator. So you need people who be interested in being in the small groups and helping to get the conversation going and helping to make sure that the conversation if that's going forward. So we don't know how many groups are going to be. I was thinking that they're going to be 5, but we don't know how many groups they're going to be because they can come up with 18 different issues, and then there end up being 18 groups. And so the unpredictability of this is a good thing. gap to train on the other, right? Around the system, first one, I hate unpredictability. But the unpredictability of this is a good thing, and the trainers are testing, they get that.
Interpretive services. We will figure that out.
We'll figure it out.
If you, I will, if you think you're going to attend.
Any other comments about the town hall?
More specifically on the campus?
I'm at the library, which is the Native Community Center over there. So John has sent out a library. We'll make sure you know where it is. So John has sent out a meeting somewhere, and the whole team will have a meeting for the working group set up either by the end of the week, if not tomorrow. And so he sent that out to people that we have to be involved in, but when we have that date, I will share with everybody. If you want to come and be involved in the working room and help the working group, I will get time to be involved with the working group.
Debbie, did you have another comment? And John, did you have something to add?
Either I do or Lloyd does.
So I just had a little bit of a concern without going forward with this, without having a little bit more structure to the meeting. And I just kind of want to know, do you have a clear objective right now of what it is that you want to accomplish in this meeting and report back to the GM, or you're thinking you're going to set that objective there? I kind of want to draw your attention to some constraints that you will have. I mean, you're going to be in a room for only 2 hours between 1 and 3. With 200 or more kids, and without having a little more structure for the meeting, are you really sure you're going to be able to accomplish whatever your objective is?
Our objective, my objective, is another objective. I would love to hear that. But my objective with this is to have young people talk about this and get their ideas for how to make it. That is my objective. I have no other objective. Now, if you ask me personally what I feel about this, our objective hopefully is that we get people all on board on one plan for what type of active voice they will have in Metro. That's what I hope will happen. But I think that we should let the young people decide what the objective is, because it's for them. And they're the young people here to talk about for them.
Sure. But anyway, okay, that makes a little more sense. I thought that you were doing this as a result of the GM conversation that the leadership of Iraq had with him, and in response to one of the first suggestions that he had about behavior, you know, addressing.
Yeah, so at the last meeting, we talked about behavior. I wanted to not talk about other people's behavior as them being that being equal. That's, to me, that's not a conversation that. The behavior issues concerning young people, it pertains to a particular group of young people. It does not pertain to young people. It pertains to people who are active on Metro. And so those are two separate conversations. But I believe, just from attending the Mayor's Youth Leadership Institute meeting, they've been going on at Howard University all summer. So just from attending their meeting last week, and then attending the thing that I went to at Cedar Chavez, high school, where I talk about Iraq and Metro and everything to those students, I'm almost certain this is going to come up because they talk about it. They know that crime and behavior issues is an issue for them too. And so I assume that it will come up. But I want to not equate crime and behavior with them.
Lloyd, did you have another comment? Or? Okay, so I'm going to give the discussion another 5 minutes. We are significantly behind our normal agenda. Five more minutes, so I'm
going to
go James, Debbie, and then
Carol. Madam Chair, I'll be very brief. I don't want to join the working group, but I will be at the town hall. And anything you need me to do, I'll be happy to do. I would like to moderate one of the discussions. And I think that this is a good thing, particularly the way you set it up, because you get them to talk and to tell us what's on them.
No,
I think that what we really need to work on is having, making certain before we arrive there on that Monday, that we have enough people to serve as facilitators, et cetera, et cetera. And one of the groups encouraging me would be maybe former members of Iraq who might be offering today and might be going through that. But that's my only concern. We've got to have enough people to fill in the various roles. And as I said, and to Deborah, I would say to you, I mean, sometimes we need rules to stop bickering and things like that. And as I understand it, with the open space concept, establishment of ground rules is usually one of the opening exercises as well.
Thanks, Don.
Really quickly, I'm a trainer on the planner. I train, and so this is on the spectrum of what's good. Urban planning, the needs of public participation, and started out with the public hearing process and the need to work and get input, and this is one of them. What I would hope, though, is that as you figure out what their priorities are, is to follow up on it. Because, you know, ridership among young people is increasing at a higher rate than other demographic groups in public transit. And some of the issues that, you know, my wife was older, but actually happens to be a college student raised, is that Metro is one of the few systems that doesn't offer any discounts regionally. I mean, certain entities like the DC Public Schools do for youths or college students for that matter. And I'm hoping, and I'm pretty sure that'll be an issue that comes up, is that there's some follow-up and we try and move some of those issues, because my hope is that, you know, like any other business, obviously there's a cost, say for example, offering huge fares. But there's a big upside, and these people become adults, that they'll continue to use Metro, and you'll indoctrinate them from a very young age, that just is a good system. So all I'm hoping for is that this is not just the first meeting, I will not be able to make it, but one in which we follow up on the concerns.
Yeah, I think that's very clear. This is going to be that first step to say, all right, come on in and talk to us, we want to hear from you, and then let's work together to see what we need to address, what are the next. Any other comments about the youth town hall? Okay.
Can I just, is everybody in this? Thank you. This just sort of piggybacks on Lloyd's comment that everybody is clear about the objective, the group is in agreement on the objective of what the RAC wants to get out of this as a listening session. Is that the sense of the body? I'm not disagreeing with that. I just kind of wanted to just do one more gut check before this discussion ended. That's all.
Okay.
All right. And Lourdes and I are both planning on being there as support, and anyone else who, you know, any other folks that work with you that Joseph has reached out to, so I think we'll be cleaning that up hopefully within the next couple days.
Okay.
But anyway, thank you. I just never hurts to double check.
So the next agenda item is emergency communications and preparedness. And actually, the leader of this effort, Carl Seif, is not here. So I don't know if this is something, if you look on page
19.
19. This is a, John, did you want to bring in this discussion?
Sure. And, yeah. And I'm just gonna, this, well, actually, you know, I'll just do it here. Sorry. So back, just especially for the new folks, back in May, there had been some incidents on the, I think largely on the rail system, that there was the derailment at Roslyn, there were some other incidents regarding police response, and Carl put forward, hey, we would like to have a larger sort of more focused meeting as is allowed or encouraged in the RACS bylaws to talk about this particular topic, about Metro's response, about sort of what it's, and what it's gotten if I get anything wrong, about what its protocols are, about what customers should expect, you know, about what customers see as deficiencies, those kind of things. And so that was in May. In the interim, the RACS leadership has met with members of the board and talked about this. They have been supportive of going forward with this in the fall. And I guess what, in going forward with this, I guess I just kind of wanted to get maybe a little bit more nitty-gritty details from the group about what you all would like to see so we can do some sort of staff logistical planning. I know that's not exactly the right word, but planning in terms of, you know, who the group thinks needs to be there, what the objective of this meeting is, how we set it up, you know, what the outcome and goals are going to be. You know, I understand that it's not, it's sort of the antithesis of an open space meeting, but if we're going to invite Metro staff or other, you know, subject matter experts to come in and talk about, you know, this is what's supposed to happen, assuming that the goal is not just to have a listening session, then I think we just wanted to get some stuff nailed down so that I and Loida can work with other Metro staff to make this thing happen. That's basically where it is. And so what's in front of you on page 19 are just some sort of prompts, like, does this, you know, is this what everybody can agree to and sort of bless as us going forward with?
Thanks.
There you have it.
So what I'm going to do actually, I know we had 30 minutes on our agenda, but if it's okay with everyone, I'm actually going to ask that we, and we'll see how time is though, maybe short, maybe 20 minutes so that we can still get to the other items on our agenda, especially because Carl is not here, he isn't here, we're going to have another discussion about this. I have a comment about the objectives, and as I think one of the objectives should be, what can riders do? What should riders do? What should they know beforehand? I think sometimes, and I can be guilty of it too, we're always leaning on someone else to do something for us. So it would be really great if we had a perspective of a talk or, man, if my train was unfortunately stopped at this station, do I know what other bus routes I could take? Do I know where else I could walk to catch another station even in the city? I'd like to see that out there. Ron, and Joseph? Oh, sorry. I used Ron.
Yeah, I just had just as a clarification on this, because I've kind of heard two types of on this one. Is this macro or micro? Is it, you know, emergency response if something happens with a barrier, like the train derailment, or is this when an individual is feeling threatened?
It came about, I think, due to the micro issues with individuals being having an iPod or something stolen and taking that
to their own recently.
Yeah, and so, but I think it's evolved into something more than broke out.
I know, so this is going to address both the whole spectrum.
I think so.
Okay, but that's a good task. And, just in terms of how this goes forward, I think that they're both really important and connected, but, you
the train rail, then you have to get the shuttles to the train versus what happens when the smug or the car is, has some threatening car feels threatened or unattended, and it's just, I think, a little separate issue. So, I mean, if there's some way to coordinate that.
And that's a good question, actually, and I'm going to, I'd like to take that question to ask the problem as well. He might have very strong opinion on where the boundary of the conversation. Ron, and then...
One thing I'd like to hear from Metro, and it's, to me, it always seemed like the biggest problem when there's a, an incident, safety incident, and that is, and it was just in the paper in the last two incidents, people aren't told what to do. They sit there for half an hour, 45 minutes, and they look at each other, and then they start to take action on their own. People don't know where they're supposed to go, that kind of stuff. To me, what that means is training. Somehow, there needs to be a set training as to what happens. Because people who ride the Metro don't know what to do, and it's sort of people who are in charge of the stations that are going to have to tell them to do what to do and how to do it. It seemed like a very low-cost item. Everything else we talked about with Metro costs hundreds of millions of dollars. Training the staff exactly what they're supposed to do in various safety situations seems like a very low-cost item. I'd like to very much hear what kind of training do people get to respond to, that is the Metro staff, and what happens when the Metro staff doesn't do that? Is there some kind of discipline that's meted out? Because, again, article after article in the TV program after TV program, people combine it. They just said that they don't know what, when there's an incident, they don't know what to do. So I would like to hear what kind of training are people doing.
So that would, that would fall under the roles. What kind of training is provided to help employers fulfill their roles?
Yes.
Which is in the back page. Okay.
Joseph James,
John, I think that Carl's topic is very thorough. And are you saying it's not? I mean, I don't know more other than us being writing down questions. And I don't know what you mean. This is, to me, this is, to me, a very disappointing. These people who answer these questions should come prepared to answer these questions. You're the Metro Police Chief, and we're talking about what happened and what happened when someone's iPod is stolen. But then someone might ask you the question about, okay, what happened? What should we do when something happens on the train that feels around? You should be able to answer. You're the police chief. So I don't know what more we need to tell. What do you feel you're in? No,
well, I think, happy is you put this together to get feedback from us. So if everything is here and you think it's right,
right, exactly. This is it. If there's something that I missed, then I understand that you're all just looking at it. It's based on what Carl put together. It is. I won't take credit for that. Yeah, if there's something in there that people feel like I have, or Carl, or is not there, you know, quick quiz, what's, you know, what do you see that's not there?
That's what I understood. You're saying what from this
podcast, is there anything that's missing?
Okay.
Or is there anything in here that you think is extraneous? I think that's probably a less likely question.
No, I don't think that's right.
Okay. That's fine. I just, you know, but I guess what I'd like to, maybe if the chair would indulge me for a moment, just go through some very basic logistical things. An evening meet, we're thinking an evening meet, some evening during the week for a couple hours. Is that, does that seem legit? To inform people about Metro plans and policies, to identify weaknesses, and then to inform riders what they can do for themselves.
And I think also, more back to the objective of this, if I remember back to the May meeting, is that we hear what Metro says should happen. And then we take that information and think about, one, is that what happened? Two, is that the best thing that should happen? And three, do we have additional recommendations that we feel riders would benefit if this happened? like Grandma. Is there, should riders know that if you get robbed on Metro, you can't call Metro police, you only have to call transit police? Like, I think that, because I think that that's how this all started. So.
That's a question.
So, right. So I think that that, the answer to Jeff's question is that I think that those are our objectives. What should happen, is this happening, and is there something better that we think should happen?
Okay.
So I'm, John, if you don't mind, I'm actually going to ask you not to go through that, because I think everyone's got.
That's fine.
That we're giving feedback on this here. What do you like about it, what do you think should be changed, all that. So James?
Madam Chair, very good comment. I think this is an excellent idea. I think it's very important that riders understand, we're educated riders, but riders need to know what a Metro police officer can and cannot do, and they need to know specifically what Metro employees can and cannot do during emergencies. And God forbid, we're going to have another 9/11 type incident, God forbid. So people need to know what needs to be done. Thank you.
Okay. Carol, Debbie, Donner,
and in the interest of time, I'll write this to the, write this out in detail, but I personally think, you brought this up last month, in terms of the security issue and when we had it for the emergency response, I think the two things should be separated. I think personal security issues and emergency response issues are both too broad. They may be the same players, but I would break it up into two pieces because I think you're going to get, it's going to be muddled. Okay. If you don't break it up, but I'll send them more information out.
I don't know how
part toward this. I think, you know, and I'm going to separate it out, Dave said, let's talk about security first. You know, the last thing they need for Iowa wants to hear when they had an incident occur is that it's not an in-person's job to assist them. You know, so how do you fill the gaps and how do you make it seamless? Or, you know, when this, you've got people in a stress situation, they're going to the person in charge and something just happened, they need a response and not, they don't need to be shuttled around or ignore given by phone number. So, I mean, so there has to be a way when you're addressing these things is how do you improve what happens and make it something that people, I mean, we talk about educating them. I always hear the phone number for security over the loudspeaker. I can tell you what number I have to call. I mean, so that's just not seamless. And so, you know, I've gone to the station manager and they turned away. And it's never, it's like, it's just the wall. So I mean, I don't speak to the fire, but how, I mean, I think, you know, people gather, what's the call to action and how, what are the gaps that just isn't going to have to be filled.
And any other comments on this before I close out the agenda? Okay. Seeing none, I'm going to go on to the next agenda item, which is the comments on the rec chair and the AAC chair report. Pat is not here, so John, I guess you don't have a report on that tonight.
His report from last month is included, the one that he delivered at the board.
Page 23.
Correct. So if you have any particular questions, after you've had a chance to take a look at it, email them to me and I can certainly relay those to Pat.
Okay, thanks. And so for the draft report to the board, I don't have anything to report on that. I would like to take this time to talk about the RAC leadership team meeting with the board chair and the also attended for the first vice chair and the second vice chair of the board, as well as myself, Joseph, and Lorraine, and Loya, and John Patrick, and the general manager, Barbara Richardson, the chief staff, were all in attendance. This was just a couple weeks ago. The meeting was very productive and it was positive. I have here four major takeaways. First one, I'm extremely almost ecstatic about. So, the board wants to meet with the RAC leadership team regularly. And by regularly, that means quarterly meetings to address RAC business. So the next session meeting would be in September. I'm ecstatic and optimistic and excited about that because for those who have not followed the RAC closely or been involved with the RAC, normally feedback from the board or interaction with the board, including when you want 30-minute presentation by the board chair at the beginning of each year, and that was it. So I think that's a great step on their part, on our part, for them to say, we want to come to you 4 times a year because we believe you all are doing great things and we recognize your importance. And that, I think, is going to make a stronger relationship, especially as the RAC goes on. It gives us additional opportunities to have true dialogue with the board about some of the goals we're putting forward. There was also a discussion about how the board wants to give the RAC a formal response to our recommendations, for our proposals within a quarter time frame. So again, within 3 months, we hear back from the board. Right now, it's kind of, we'll see. And so that's, again, adding more structure to our process here of getting feedback and then receiving feedback or receiving comments from the board. Another takeaway was that the board wants to partner with the RAC to host the emergency communication meeting. The meeting that we just gave on some additional items to consider, take the calls to consider, and their time frame was September. So again, while the initiative said you thought we might do this in late spring or early summer, I think it's great. And again, as far as time everyone recalls, it's the first time the RAC partnered with the board to hold a special meeting. And I think that it will be extremely interesting to see what type of responses we get with the board being present as well as for this type of meeting. Another takeaway is that our board chair has been who plans to attend the town hall. Is there a
No, I think, I was with the two vice chairmen, but I think it was Cal Dam who said that he wants to, his voting age should be assigned that the RAD, so Kelsey brought in the item that gained a response from the board that reminds the town that it will take 3 months to get a response, it's that you should have a response in meeting the board, and if not, then these parties, these meetings should be defined that, that the board is made aware that no one has responded to these things. And he's made this comment before about staff replying to not only us, but the AAC and the public, and they, I think it's comments. So hopefully this will, like Kelsey said, help make sure that when we send the recommendation to the board, it doesn't just go into the board base somewhere. And that, that they do talk about it and they do buy that in a different way, saying, we like your idea and we're going to do it this way. Or we want to change your idea, we want to do it this way. Or this is why your idea won't work. So that we know, that we're actually listening to what we're saying. So I think these are a great idea. I'll tell you, I love the idea that this is with the entire leadership team, because I'll be honest with you. I did not leave the first meeting with just the chair feeling optimistic. And I don't think that's not because she's a good chair, but she's just one person, so she doesn't leave for the whole body. However, with those more, I'll get back to you on that. But when you are meeting with her and both the vice chairs, you get more of a sense of where the body may be willing to go.
John, do you have anything to add?
No, I think you all covered it. I think, and just to add to Joseph's point, it does help to meet with more than one person. I mean, for anything, because then the members of the board or the members of the RAC or whoever, sort of, you feel responsible at, you know, okay, well, I said this with my two colleagues, so I have to live up to that. So I think that's going to be helpful.
As I've done before, I want to announce the agenda for the next meeting of the Action Committee for Transit. It takes place in Silver Spring, usually the second Tuesday of the month. August 14th, the speaker will be Emily Hall, a blogger at Metro Venture. My Metro Venture, 1 year to visit all stations and ride all bus lines in the WMATA system. The meetings are held at 7:30 on the second Tuesday at this address, and convenient walk from the Silver Spring Metro Station, 8818 George Avenue. I have this as a handout for everybody to take with them. It has a couple of articles from the just published newsletter, Action Committee for Transit. Thank you.
Carl, in the last meeting, discussed the last meeting for the 14th Street bus survey, and so I was able to attend that last month, and they were just talking about hopefully implementing sooner than later a few changes on 14th Street, which hopefully will happen sooner than later. I guess wanted to share a few of the things that I learned at that meeting that I didn't really know until then, is that hopefully on 14th Street we'll soon have, maybe in the next few months, express bus. Which would be very helpful during rush hour. They're talking about, you know, changing some of the parking situations as you get closer to Columbia Heights. And so I guess for me that was it was sort of like a drop-in session. So what they allowed is that people to come within a 2-hour time frame and sort of discuss the issue they had, see what plans they were thinking about implementing. And I think that the way in which they did that was very helpful and very useful. Especially for people who may not be able to get there right at 5 p.m., but definitely want to get there at some point during that time frame. And it was just, it was nice to sort of be able to interact and talk about the changes and what could potentially happen on 14th Street. So I know they're still open to hearing comments and suggestions. So if that affects anyone, I would definitely suggest getting in touch with basically the law.
Thanks.
Donna,
Barbara, James.
I just wanted to bring up an issue with this stuff. People that use the smart share car, Arlington Transit did not implement an increase in currently with the Metro bus, which they normally do. So as a result, transfers between Metro bus and ARC buses would increase, but from ARC to Metro bus would cost, for instance, which is a fair difference. So when I inquired about this, I was told more of these type of issues may happen as the system matures. For example, the DC circulator, which has been $1 since it was started almost 6 years ago, may just go to even $2 because they're a tourist system. They don't want people fumbling for change. And at that point, if you're transferring from Metro bus to the circulator, you have to make a difference and fare. And I kind of know this, but I'm not, I kind of follow these issues, and I've only found out about it because I'm on the mailing list. And I think that as this happens, it should, Metro should make an effort to let people know, because they do run the Smart Trip program and the Smart Trip Car program, and more of what I usually expect.
Thank you. Barbara?
Yeah, I just have a question. Is there any form that we have, or is this part of what we want to do? Just have two big things happen in terms of changes with the trains, the line, the yellow line, and also the fares. Is there anything that standard practice we have that we review anything or feedback or discuss that or whatever?
Yeah, so like with rush left and that game, do you guys like what maybe 9 years ago?
Six to eight months. A while ago.
So usually it follows though. We like to be brought on board early within the process of these things are happening. That's one of the things that the leadership team impressed both the general manager and the board chair, which is that the wrap was the work staff, but the wrap off the list to be brought in early during the appropriate time. So we're not caught off guard the last minute. Sometimes the stuff we have. So yeah, with that rush left one who were arriving earlier. The fair
I'm sorry, I wasn't talking about who's involved in the decision as far as feedback about how it's gone. The after the fact evaluation of whatever everything from how it's communicated or how the feedback from the writers is, that sort of
feedback from staff about our feedback to them, or I'm sorry, I'm missing the question.
I'm just trying to understand our role as far as discuss things like that, what we hear from our constituents about how it's gone, is there some, what we plan as a major change like that?
Now that it's been implemented, I think that we have done that on occasion for these specialized, but I don't know that we've done that regularly. Is there something like Rush Plus or another that you would like time to speak to staff based off of what you, you're hearing from writers in your position? Or would you like this to be a carrier operator?
I'm just trying to understand how it works.
Right now, it's, I don't think there is a defined way to be, that we would adjust that.
So we don't normally just discuss changes like that, how it meant?
John, do you know if that was that time of being born about that?
I'm gonna do this. Like Rush Plus, for example, is the board expected to get like a...
If they do, well, I don't have to expect that you need to have a campaign, but if they do get it, John, can you see if we can get it when they get it, and then maybe we can get a communication from when they get it, when they get it, is that what I'm talking about? Would that help, Barbara?
Yeah, or, sorry, I'm just trying to understand the role.
I live on the other side of the park, so you don't want to do that.
The thing is, where some things we just need to, we have a role, and that's already defined. This has not yet been an area that's been defined. I don't think that we've had enough changes where people have said, well, now that you've implemented that, we want you all to come back and tell us how it's worked in 6 months or a year. So I think it's up to us. If something for us, for instance, is one of the things we're talking about, we do that.
Not knowing what this group did before I joined, I guess that was the kind of thing I just assumed was part of our role.
I think to answer your question, though, especially on the second part about the fairs, like, we did get a review when we did talk about, the impact of the peak of the peak after they implemented the peak of the peak. I think it was probably my first meeting, too. What's her name? Zillow.
Carol
Kissel came and talked about how the peak of the peak did exactly what, I think if I remember correctly, Carol's presentation, I don't think she liked the community. And so she did, I think it was my first meeting a year ago, come and talk about these are the rides, trends that happen after the season and things like this, and this is why the future we want to be with it. So she did do something about that.
So I guess what I'm saying is let us know, anyone with a rap, there's something you want us to follow up on, staff to come back and send us, we're happy to do that. And just like to have to do so, but we don't normally check on if there's a special instance or someone that's requested at that to get feedback for how we want to do this. James and then Joseph.
I'll be brief. On June 18th at CECA City Hall, there was a presentation. In regards to the C-22 bus and C-29, those basically they go from Madison Road to off the town center, the shopping mall, so that it, but they really are off of it. A lot of people say Prince George's Community College, and those buses are crowded. And then they ultimately go to Six Flags. Those buses are crowded. If you don't get on the bus at Addison Road, you're not going to get a seat. You're not going to get a seat, and that's one of the things that really. So I just wanted to let you know that.
Thank you. Joseph?
I have two things. This is a little bit you. But the community meeting last month, French has made the decision for service. I live in Charlie. Charlie did the business, Charlie, planning, transportation, the whole deal about centers for French Church. The county did that. A lot of money. But it was talking about like planning decisions. Where the people in Sherman want Sherman to look like in 20 years, how transportation impacts that, and where our town grows and how we incorporate mass transit into Sherman. So I think that there's going to be some follow-up discussions about division of Sherman going on. And I think that a lot of other communities in Prince George's County, like Greenbelt and Iceville, and things like that, plan to start doing these type of things as they start trying to assert more influence in their own planning decisions that really are controlled by the county council. but I wanted to talk about another mic real quick for John, and mainly because I got an email about this a week ago, and I just got a tweet about it again, so I want to ask you a question, if anyone else has an opinion. Okay. So, a few months ago, when we were talking about public participation, I asked if we could allow people to sign in over there and give their email address, and then we use that to create a list that would be solidified our agenda automatically went to people.
Yes.
And Robert, I didn't talk about it, and we didn't really do it at all. But, I was at a meeting, and someone sent me an email about it after the meeting, and said that that would be very helpful for them, as opposed to them remembering every first Wednesday, every first Wednesday, to those who are on the website to see what the agenda is, to see if they want to come and talk about this agenda, if they can get signed up to get the agenda emailed to them, and then they can decide if the rat talking about something that I want to come down here and talk about. And I think that that's a good idea, and I think that that's something that we probably could do, unless you tell me that we cannot do that.
No, what I will tell you is that I fell down on the job this month just because we finalized, because the agenda was finalized so late. And so I think that in the period between which we got the agenda finalized, which was later than normal, and tonight, I just did not do that, but I will do that in the future. And I have the email addresses of folks that have...
So you already do that?
Well, I think this might have been the first month that it was supposed to go into full effect. I can't remember. It was either that or...
No, you didn't actually vote on it. I just brought it up.
No, I understand. I said I was going to do it.
Oh, so you will do it.
And I will do it. I did not do it this month. We finalized the agenda late, and I just... It did not cross my mind. But
okay.
I will remind myself to do it in the future.
I think that would just help people know that it will help them remember that this is the meeting that they're, they have interest in. They'll try to find it if they want to come down. Or send an email about it, what I'm suggesting, to talk about it so that we get those, so that they have that information regularly sent to them.
And our Twitter person did send out a notice earlier today.
Yes.
As an FYI.
I think that's it. And I didn't want to just change that.
Yeah, no. I appreciate the reminder.
I just want to underscore a little bit. We really came off of health care.